Well, it's been a little while since we've been here. We've been traveling and all over the place, and it was really fun to be able to hear the song of Bless the Lord, O My Soul. That became sort of the theme song for Sue and I. As we have our XM radio on and we're listening to the message, it would come on probably about every hour. The way XM does, they just keep recycling the song. So that became the song. And Sue would be sleeping or whatever, and she's not here, so I could talk about her right now. She's bringing her grandson down there, but don't tell her anything I say. But anyway, she would be sleeping at all, so she'd hear the song, and it just sits live enough and just really get excited about that. So it's a great song, and it's a great time to be able just to enjoy the Lord as you're traveling. And we've been traveling all over the place. It's heard a lot of great things of what's happening here at the church, and I'm excited about what God's doing in people's lives. It's great to see our dear sister Felicia back. I mean, she's a joy. I heard she was coming back, and we're just blessed to have her. Doesn't it sort of the blessing of the Lord, just that the brightness happens even though it's raining outside? When she comes in, she just lights up a room, doesn't she, because of her love for God. And we really appreciate her. And during our travels, too, for those that you remember, we got to see Bill and Jane Dando. They were down in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Down somewhere where I think Calvin's at, somewhere around that area. Somewhere in that area. They're down there in the Navy, going to a Messianic Jewish congregation. They have to travel an hour to get there, to get to the Messianic Jewish congregation. It's interesting that the pastor of that, the rabbi or whatever, and they all live right near Bill and Jane, so they all travel an hour to have it. My thinking is, why don't they come the other way? He's there. And they're trying to work that out, but they're really blessed by that. So they send their greetings. They're really believe that Northgate is still their home church, and they really believe that, and excited to see that. You know, before we started traveling back in September 9th down to Charleston, South Carolina, Sue and I had the invitation of some friends join the bowling league, and we're doing it once a month. We're doing a once-a-month 10-pin bowling, and we bowl on Saturday. We bowled on Saturday the 8th, the day before. We got up at 5 in the morning to start driving down to Charleston, South Carolina. I must admit that after bowling and driving that many hours, it was the only time that Sue could keep up with me walking, as I was so sore. I had used muscles that I never knew I had those muscles there in terms of bowling. And so I thought, and it's been many years since I've gone bowling. The last time I went bowling was duck pin bowling. Anybody know what duck pin bowling is? Little ball right here. You have to spin it and stuff like that. Well, that 10-pin bowling is a whole different muscles and everything else that goes along. But I did okay, and I could have done better. But it got me to thinking, you know, if the ball had just moved a little bit this way instead of towards the gutter, my score would have been so much better. My score would have been so much better. You know, and the word if sort of became a theme for me. It says it's a song that when Sue and I were dating, there was a song that came out that was sung by a group called Bread. How many of you are old enough to remember the group named Bread? Okay, there's three. So this is going to have an effect to you. It says that the song was called If. That was the title of the song, If. It wasn't a long, but one of the things it says, if a picture paints a thousand words, then why can't I paint you? The words will never show you I've come to know, and so on. And this really expressed my feelings for Sue. It was something that I would sing to her. I would sing to her, and she would cover her ears. But as I sang and stuff like that, and I would sing it louder so she could hear it. But no, it says that the little word if can mean a lot in a person's life. The little word if you think of that word, if, it can mean a lot in people's life. It can mean individual failure, or it can mean individual fulfilled. It all depends on how we take that. And in the next few moments, I want to share how, as we believers, that we need to rise above individual failure. We need to rise above individual failure and have individual fulfillment in the Lord. Individual fulfillment in the Lord. So I look at the first scripture. Let's just look at Matthew 16:24. again, individual failure or individual fulfilled. Matthew 16:24, and this is the New King James Version, because NIV doesn't have the word if. I needed to find the word if. But it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, in this verse, Jesus uses the word if to really introduce several points. First, we have to have a desire to come after Jesus. Is the desire there to come after Jesus? Or do we have a casualness about it? Do we really desire to follow Jesus? There needs to be a passion within our soul to follow Him. There needs to be a passion that is there. It's interesting about Calvin. A soldier has the desire to serve his or her country. And there is a passion to follow the orders of the commander-in-chief. No matter who the commander-in-chief is, there's a passion. Because when they go in to become into the military, there's a desire in their heart to follow orders, to follow that to happen, to make sure they want to be a better person. And there are many men and women who enter sometimes, and that's the same way, I'm sorry, let's go back a little bit, that's the same way we should be in the kingdom of God. We should have that same desire to follow the ultimate commander-in-chief. You know, in the military itself, there are many times individuals who go into the military as individual failures. They go in there because they are failures in their life. But I've seen and I've heard how military transforms men and women in the military. They go in as individual failures, but they come out as individuals fulfilled. And God has really challenged them and really helped them to grow. And it's something, and even the military helps people to change their lives. They discipline them. They work around them. They really struggle. And they work. And I love the word about how Calvin said it. What did we say it was? It was fun. It was fun. I'm sure it was fun in one way, that he's surviving it. But I know that the military and others that are in the military can talk stories about this, of how they've pressed them to the end, pressed them to the edge, pressed them to everything else, to go forward, to move forward. And that's the same way it is in the kingdom of God, as the Lord transforms us. But in order to be completely filled, we need to deny ourselves. We need to strip everything that is holding us back. Hebrews talks about it in chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that entangles and hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We need to go from that. We need to change our mind thought. And to go from an individual failure to know that we can be an individual fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We need to throw off everything that entangles us and hinders us. We need to throw it away. We need to deny ourselves about what is in our heart. And we need to ask God to take over our life. And to be able to say, Lord, I want you to take over my life. I deny everything about me, but I want you to fill me. And we are only fulfilled when God fills us. We are fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, as Deborah talked about eloquently today in the communion. He endured the cross for each one of us, because He loves us. I mean, yes, AJ was throwing up when he was a 2-year-old and stuff like that. How many times do we spiritually throw up before God? And we throw up and says, Lord, I regurgitate this. I really don't want any of this that what you're telling me. And you're throwing up His life. You're throwing up what He's giving us. You're throwing it right back in His face. And God says, I love you still. I love you still. I'm embracing you more and more and more. And it continues on and says, consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, that you will not grow weary in this heart. Next thing, as we've talked about, is we need to take up His cross. We need to understand that Jesus is calling us to follow Him in death. Follow Him in death. When he took up the cross, he knew he was going to die. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. He knew he was going to die. Are you willing to sacrifice your life for that much? He knew he was going to die physically, but more importantly, he was going to die spiritually. He was going to be separated from the Father. Because as he took on the sins of the world, he knew the Father could not embrace him. He could not look at him. He became that sacrifice for our sins. And we need to die every day to sin in our lives. We need to understand today that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. And we need to die to that sin every day. We need to confess that sin before the Lord. And the Lord says when we confess that sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We then become, we go from that individual failure to the individual filled. We are able to recognize that sin is in our life and that God can only redeem us when we say, yes, I've got sin in my life. And we understand that and we confess that. And God then can have His Holy Spirit come into us. But God is a very gracious God and a very, not a rude God, if you will. God will not knock down the door unless we open the door. Unless we open the door. God's love is there for us on the doorstep for us, but we have to open the door up. And that takes, sometimes it takes a hard thing to do. God, I want you to come to my life, but I'm not sure I want you right now. And we need to understand that God wants to have right now. He wants to have you be changed today. If you look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is a verse that's very familiar to a lot of people. Again, it still reflects about an individual failure, the word if, or individual fill. Because as I look at this verse, I think it's a not only just an individual perspective, but it's also a corporate perspective. It says, if my people who are called by my name, and again it goes back to that same aspect, do we want to be called by Jesus' name? Do you want to be called by Jesus' name? It's a question you have to ask. Will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Again, it's that little word if. 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 If we look at this verse again, it says, my people called on my name. Today there are debates. Who are really God's people? Who are really God's people today? There are many different voices out there. But who's really speaking God? Confusion reigns in the church and in the world are who really are God's people. Casting Crowns is a great song. It's entitled, If We Are the Body. And the chorus goes like this. It says, but if we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hand healing? Why aren't His words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing them there is a way? There is a way, and so on. This is what the church, you and I, we are the church, should be doing. This is what the church should be doing. This is what we're called to do. We've relied so much about government providing the way, and instead of allowing the church to provide the way. In Acts, it talks about how the people came and they brought the food and everything else at the apostles' feet so they could distribute it to the people. Today, we have that same aspect in life that the church should be the ones who are feeding, the ones who should be teaching, the ones who should be reaching. As believers, we need to go and say, okay, are we the church of Jesus Christ who are ready to rise up and to take this challenge, or are we relying upon somebody else? If, again, it comes to individual failure or individual fulfillment. I've heard that the Flock Group and Encouragement meeting on Wednesday, I must admit I was after traveling and all this stuff and everything else, I was just gone. We talked about humility, which means get rid of our pride. Imagine if we learned to humble ourselves and trust in the Lord. Imagine what life would be like. How much pride do we have among ourselves? Stepping on toes, I'm stepping on my own toe probably. You know, there's another thing about pray. It says in 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I just finished a biography recently on John Newton. It took me 6 months to read, because it was one of those airplane books. Whenever I traveled or whatever, I would get a little bit and write and read a little bit. It's a fascinating story about how God humbled him in the midst of a storm. John Newton was a captain of a slave ship back in the 1700s. And that was something that he did. But God changed his life in the midst of a storm. In the midst of a storm. He became a wonderful preacher. He became the Billy Graham of that day. He was the evangelist. He was also the writer of wonderful hymns, including Amazing Grace, which is sung in so many different languages all throughout the world. But in his journals, he would comment how he would pray 5 hours a day. Pray without ceasing. He was so in love with his wife that he also was afraid for what she was doing, because she felt like many times that his wife was idolizing him more than, in terms of honoring him more than she was honoring the Lord. And she had to say, hey, I'm just a humble man. I'm just a humble man. His life wasn't without troubles. His wife died before he did. They could not have children. They adopted 2 children. Had a lot of troubles in his life. But God calls us to pray. He calls us to pray beginning today. I love what we have there about the 40 days of prayer for our country. It's something that we need to be involved in. And as we pray, we're called to seek His face. To seek His face. And seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Dan did a great job yesterday at the mug breakfast talking about righteousness. You know, since we're entering into the political time and the elections are upon us, we know that candidates will be seeking our votes. And God's called us as a church to speak about righteousness. The church today, throughout the country, is going to be speaking about righteousness. And I believe that God's calling the church and each one of us to speak about righteousness, to go from individual failures to individual fulfilled. If we're individual failures, we don't care about righteousness. But if we're individual fulfilled, we care a lot about righteousness in our life. We need to ask ourselves, as candidates are seeking our votes, and are these candidates seeking the Lord and standing for righteousness? Are these candidates support life at conception? Are they pro-life? Are they pro-choice? And to me, there's no choice. I'm going to tell you a story. Sue's heard this story. Some other people have heard this story. But I told this in college years and years ago. It sounds facetious. It sounds sacrilegious, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. We're in the midst of a big debate in college. At a class, I'm taking a philosophy, I don't know what it's, religion class or whatever. And this is when the Roe versus Wade was just coming out. And there was a lot of conversation going on about the abortions and the life of the newborn and the health of the woman and stuff like that. And there was a lot of things about, okay, yes, it's right to kill babies and stuff like that. Well, me, I sort of raised my hand, foolishly as I am. And I went to this guy's, the professor's name was Dr. Crow, and I said, Dr. Crow, I don't mean to sound, I don't know what I want to say, facetious, stupid, whatever. So, you know, we've talked a lot about saving the life of the child, and we're worried about the mother, saving the life of the mother and what she might be going through. I said, you know what? Many times these mothers have already been living 20, 21 years, maybe longer. Why don't we let the baby be born and be raised and kill the mother? That went over like a lead balloon. But the argument is still the same. Life at conception is life. And if people don't understand that and understand that life is, that's what God needs to have. That's what God's talking to us today. We need to have politicians who are willing to stand up and to say, yes, life is here. And if it's not that way, then we cannot vote for them. The same way do we have politicians who support the traditional marriage between a man and a woman. We've already heard about what Maryland's going to be voting on. Brothers and sisters, this is God's covenant that we're talking about. Not man's covenant. It's God's covenant that we're coming here. Do we have politicians who support prayer in school? Who support the Bible and what the Word stands for? If not, they do not deserve our vote. It doesn't mean that just two candidates there. They're write-in. You can do write-in candidates. I believe it's time for the church to rise up and become a voice for righteousness and not a voice for lukewarmness. We could be individual failure, church failure, or it could be individual fulfilled, church fulfilled. You know, I might be stepping on some toes and putting mine. Because I think God's calling us. God's calling us to righteousness. God's calling us today. Because if we really are God's people, and we really are seeking His face, we need to be God's people. Not somebody else's. We need to be God's people today. And you know what? If we are called to be God's people, we're going to be persecuted. We don't like that. We don't like being persecuted. But Jesus Christ says that do not worry about what you might have before the courts and everything else. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. It says, greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. For it's only when we do this as His church. And remember, 2 Chronicles is talking about His church. Then God will heal the land. God will heal the land. Go back in the Old Testament. When the Israelites really sought God, and really got away from the idols, demolished them, everything else that was in their life, demolished everything, crucified everything, and really honored God, blessings overtook the Israelite nation. They had more food than they know what to do with. Riches were there. Families were healed. Things were happening in their life. God wants to heal our land today. And we need to have the courage to stand up for the convictions in order for the Lord to heal us. You know, I mentioned before the word if many times. It's individual failure with the enemy is content on you being. The enemy wants you to be an individual failure today. There's nothing in his heart more that he wants to have you fail. The enemy wants you to fail today. But I believe the Lord's desire is that you be an individual fulfilled. An individual fulfilled. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. No matter where you are right now, today, no matter where you are right now today, there's God's plan for your life. There is God's plan for your life. If you follow Him, God will prosper you in many different ways. Does it mean tomorrow that you're going to go to your mailbox and look for $100 and see $100 in your mailbox? If you do, you're going to be only one there because mail's not being delivered tomorrow. But He promises not to harm you. He promises to give you a hope. He's the author of your future. God is the author of our future today. You have an individual fulfilled because of His grace. That's the thing that John Newton was just amazed by, about how this guy who was a slave captain, captain of a ship, of a slave ship, could have so much grace for him. Of all the things that he went through, all the stuff that he survived, I mean, all the things he witnessed, and that God would anoint him with a powerful message of what God would have in his life. That amazing grace became something that was relevant in his life. And he was astounded. He was awestruck by it. If you look at this, look at Ephesians 2:8-9. I'm going to read it. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." By grace. By grace. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Every word is all about gift of God. The gift that God gives. Isn't that a wonderful gift? It's something that we never want to return. How many of us get gifts at Christmas and birthdays, whatever? Just, I already have that. The main thing about it is that grace is only one area that nobody ever has. Only God can give that grace. Only God can give that grace that fulfills us. It's not by works so that no one can boast. No matter what you do, no matter what you try to do, no matter how many, even though I talked about John Newton praying 5 hours a day, that didn't save him. Even though if he read the Bible 50 times, 100 times, all the way through, that doesn't save him. It's only grace that saves him. It's only grace. For we are God's handiwork. You look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, "Lord, I'm thankful for who I am. I'm thankful how I look. I'm your handiwork." Many times I look in the mirror and say, "God, did you fall asleep then? Did you fall asleep?" No. But we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork. Look at this. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. I mean, standing up for righteousness. Standing up and to create that, being created in Christ Jesus. We are God's creation to be created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not bad works, not lukewarm works, but good works. Excellent works. We're called to God, my God, to do this. He says, with God, and I love this, we don't really need to do anything. All we need to do is follow the outline, follow the directions. Now, directions for guys is a very foreign word. Guys don't like to follow directions. Amen? Right, guys? Yeah. Nobody wants... We love the little GPS. And you know what? GPS, you know what? Most of the time it's a GPS. It's a woman telling us which way to go. You notice that? It's not a guy saying it. It's usually a woman's voice on there. Turn right, turn left, turn this. Feel like your wife's right next to you doing the same thing. Anyway, I get back to where I was. But we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What God has given us in directions, where it says in Ephesians, for God has prepared in advance for each of us. He's already paved the way for us. All we need to do is follow the directions. We can go, as we follow these directions, to go from an individual failure to be an individual fulfilled. Again, the little word "if" means a lot. In your life, you can probably say, "If I went this way, I wouldn't have gotten lost. Or if I had done this, I wouldn't have had this heartache. If I had kept quiet..." My wife sometimes tells me many times that my mouth gets me in trouble. And so on. "If I had done this, if I had done that." Yeah. However, the Lord is asking you and me, are we an individual failure, listening to the enemy's voice? Or are we an individual fulfilled, submitting to God's purpose in our life, and hearing what the Lord is saying?
each one of us today can be that individual fulfilled. God does not believe in failures. God redeems failures. God redeems us so we can be fulfilled with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing. That we, by my prayer, that me, for me particularly, I'd be an individual fulfilled by the grace of God, that I would stand up for righteousness for His name's sake. Yeah. Individual failure, individual fulfillment. Lord, remember that today. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You today, Lord God, that we are fulfilled because of Your Holy Spirit in our life. Father, Lord God, we want to just be righteous people, Father, Lord God, standing up for righteousness. Lord God, we know it's a struggle. We know, Father, that it's hard to do. But, Lord God, we submit toward You, Lord God, that we are weak in that area. But, Father, where Your Word says, where we are weak, You are strong. And, Lord God, we know, Father, that the strength does not reside within our own spirit, Lord God. But as Your Word also says, it's not by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And, Father, we just trust in You today to change us in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen.